Well, there's many passages in the Bible that teach us who know Christ that we should really be people of joy. And in the New Testament, the book of Philippians is one that communicates that. In the Old Testament, there is Ecclesiastes. God really doesn't want us walking through life as a negative person, not enjoying life. In fact, God wants us to live this fulfilled, joyful life. And if he's in that proper place, well, the possibility can become a reality. So life should be happy, should be joyful. And if God is at the center of your life, and you're thinking properly about life, then that happiness and joy is going to be a reality. So we see these verses here in Ecclesiastes 11. He first of all in this chapter taught us how to succeed. Well, now he's teaching us how to be happy. So take a look at this, where joy and happiness are found by the use of your eyes. Look at verse 7 of chapter 7. It says, "Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun." So, you know that neither Solomon nor God intends for someone to use his eyes to literally go outside and look at the sun. It would not produce happiness, but it would produce blindness. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the idea of seeing the sun versus not seeing the sun is the idea of living a life in somewhat of an empty futility and obscurity rather than living it to the highest place of meaning and purpose. Now, the specific point of not seeing the sun in Ecclesiastes was the point of not even being born. To Solomon, a baby who didn't even see life was the one who never saw the sun. So it's a good thing to be born into this world. Life can be pleasant, it can be joyful, if God is kept in his place where he should be, which is at the center. And then joy and happiness are found by the use of our minds. Look at verse 8. "So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity." So happiness and fulfillment and joy have much to do with the way we think. And so we must remember that there are days of darkness. Remember that life is short and we're soon going to die. And in this memory, enjoy life. God, death will put out the light of life. And remember those times of hardship. And those are the days of darkness. And think how blessed we really are. And rejoice. Dark times and trial and trouble, when contrasted with light times of blessing and prosperity, can be real causes for celebration. And then remember that life before Christ was marked by guilt and burdens and sin and despair. Think of all that Christ has done since salvation. We've been set free. And then we remember the future of futility. Solomon is saying, well, when life ends in the future someday, for the most part, everything in this earth which we gave ourselves to, which seems so important at the time, will be seen as empty and futile. So many things that rob us of our joy should never really rob us of our joy. When we live in it, when we have eternity and the things that really didn't matter on the earth, that's going to become very clear. We don't want to invest our lives in chasing shadows, things that don't have any substance. There's no point letting those things that mean nothing in eternity rob us of our joy now. We should enjoy life, realizing none of the things for which we work are even going to be in eternity. Only one life, it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And then we see that joy and happiness are found by the use of one's heart. Look at verse 9. "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth." And so we see that these things are beautiful. And he says, "Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." And so how do we reconcile that with Numbers 15:39? By keeping God's future judgment in mind. There's an inspired proverb which says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans or thoughts will be established." Proverbs 16:3. So how does God establish our plans or thoughts? By putting into our minds and hearts the direction of movement or decisions that we need to make. And so the problem is that we have our hearts, we're deceitful. They're desperately wicked. So we just take off on some tangent and make decisions based on our own hearts and minds. More than likely, we'll be making that wrong decision. So that's why at the end here, it's so important. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes with God's future judgment in mind. And then lastly, joy and happiness are found by removing negatives from heart and body. Look at verse 10. Remove vexation from your heart. Put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are our vanity. That word vexation means, in view of God's judgment, remove things from your life that will provoke him. Here's a real key to happiness. Get things out of our lives that we know make God angry. Put away any evil from your body. And happiness in this life or the next life will really never be found by evil practices. God wants us to enjoy life. It's the fleeting of a vapor. And when we come to terms with that, we're going to live much more joyful lives.